The biblical call to give an answer for those who inquire about the faith. We are always prepared to give a reason for the hope that is within us.
This is your life. This is who you are. This changes the way you understand yourself as a human being and every other human being. It changes what you mean by justification and adoption and sanctification and glorification. And it changes what you mean by why we do what we do in gospel ministry and in righteous living. Everything is changed when we understand the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Hi, I'm Jabulani Meiberg.
And I'm Isaac Pinto. We are associate pastors at Central Baptist Church.
And welcome to our Theology Alive podcast, where we look to engage theology in the church carried out in the culture using a Christian worldview. Hello, 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 and welcome once again to yet another episode of our Theology Alive podcast.
Yeah, great to be with you guys once again.
I feel like we need to get horns, so every time we welcome people, we have that ba 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 ba.
I mean, we've been talking about vuvuzelas on Sunday evenings, so right. we should blow one. Yeah.
And I mean, we're talking about the gospel, so yeah. It just fits together.
It does. Sound the trumpet.
Exactly.
Or vuvuzela.
Well, look, it's good to have you all back again. We hope everybody is doing well. We're trusting and praying that the Lord has continued to reveal himself to you as you have been paging through the scriptures, as you have been attending your local church. On that note, a little disclaimer, please, if you can, return to your local church. Go back to the physical gathering of the saints.
Amen.
For that is indeed what the Lord intends for us to do, Amen. That we gather together for worship. So as a slight disclaimer, as we talk about worshiping God, yeah. We'd like to encourage you, please head back to the worship of God within the sanctuary with the saints, sitting under the preaching of God's word. And yes, if you can, please do that.
And just by the way, I don't think we have that popularity yet. Mm-hmm. Yet.
Yet. But working on it.
Yeah, there we go. But we don't mean this podcast to be any substitute for your walk with the Lord, you know. Get into the scriptures and read the word and spend time with God, praying, and be part of a local body. Yeah. And we all for that.
Sure. The word is supplement. This is just to be in addition to what you're already doing in your walk with Christ. So let this not be the replacement. But to this afternoon, or whenever you're listening to this evening, if you're listening at night or this morning, we will be talking about worship in the workplace, with the assumption that you are a working person. If you are not a working person, then this still applies to you in terms of when you do get a job and you do go into the workplace. These are the expectations of God in your life. I mean, in fact, we can even say worship in work. So even if it's not in an office, but the concept of work, how can work be attributed to, how can worship be work, or how can you work in worship?
How can you worship at work?
How can you worship at work? Yeah. Just now I there say things that I get fired. That's not what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say is, how do you worship in work? So just as a reminder from where we're coming from, I'll read that passage one more time. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. In doing this, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So essentially, worship is a display of the work of all that God is for us in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So staying on that passage, I just have a little statement here from John Piper talking about Romans 12:1-2, connecting it to work. And he says, Paul wants to build on But always in the beginning, that's where the bloopers kick
in,
right?
Yeah, yeah, that's
around this time, then we get warmed up. I feel like I'm the old Toyota Crusader. But anyway, Paul wants to build on 11 chapters of theology and turn your life into doxology so that it sounds like doxology, it looks like doxology, and it smells like doxology.
Sure.
If you don't know how to do that at work, if your work feels like the kind of work where that is an absolute inconceivable idea, then there are two possibilities. One, you're probably at the wrong job. Or two, you are being conformed to this world and you are unable to discern what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Sure, sure. And I think, you know, as you mentioned, there is today a need for Christians just to be courageous, even in their workplace. And I'm saying that, realizing that that is easier said than done.
Sure.
But in words, uncompromising in your living, into today day and age, could cost you your job.
Yeah.
But what is your primary identity? You know, sure. Are you willing to suffer because of your identity in Christ? You know, are you going to be? I've heard of Christians in situations at work where they've been asked to do maybe certain things that are not right, and then that circumstances come up, and what now? You know, do they just give in, or will they stand for the truth?
Sure, and I've heard people just engaging with them on that idea of, "Hey, brother," or "Hey, sister, why did you do it when you knew that it was wrong?" And the response that I usually got was, "No, that's just my work." You know,
sure,
it's a separate thing. That's just my job. But that's not me. It's not a reflection of who I am. I'm a good Christian. I love the Lord. I love to do what God expects of me. But that, no. That's my work.
Sure.
And we this on this episode are coming from the standpoint of you are a new creature.
Amen.
You are a believer. You've been saved. You are being sanctified by God.
Yeah.
So that means every day you need to be putting on your new self. You need to be renewing your mind. You need to be constantly looking to be conformed into the image of His Son.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? It means even at work, when you're being told to secure a shady deal, or you are told to do something, don't tell anybody about this. Even those moments, those moments require you to have integrity.
And
that's the idea that the whole podcast is about, really going back to, hey, what does a life of worship mean? It means that in every sphere of your life, your standpoint, the way you view the world, is from a biblical and a godly worldview.
Yes.
So essentially, in this episode, we are reminding you that as Christians, we are called to be engaging the world with the gospel.
Yeah, yeah.
So
there's no compartmentalization you just leave your Christian clothes at church on Sunday and then get it back when you return to the sanctuary.
Yes. It's not like you wear your PPE at work to protect you from all the sinners. And then when you get home, you can take off your PPE and you just walk around without your mask and you're free. No. The reality is, and old saints used to love this phrase, you are in the world, but you're not of the world. But the reality is, even as God has placed us in the world, He has placed us in all these different spheres of influence for us, so that we can be light and salt in those areas.
Yeah.
The reason why you got that job, even before the pay, is so that you can be a light there. The reason why you're a CEO, even before all your years of study, even before all your knowledge and experience in that craft, God has put you there specifically to be a light bearer and reflect Him there.
Yeah, there is a purpose on and reason why God has placed you there, right? Yeah.
And the other side of the coin is true. There's a reason and a purpose why God hasn't placed you in other places.
Yep. Yeah.
So, I mean, we're going to talk about this a bit later, but the reality is every job that you get, every job that you don't get is reality of God working out his providential plan.
Amen.
So if you've been looking for work for the longest time and you are a believer, do not lose heart. God knows. He hears your cry. When you get a job, that's God saying, man, this is the perfect time in my time, according to my will, for you to get work. That's just the reality of the world that we live in. If you do have a job, you know, there are really gifted people out there.
Mm.
You know, in our church, we have people who are really good with their hands.
Yep.
There's one guy, I don't want to put him on the spot, but we both know him. He can do anything.
Anything.
He can probably build a building. He's a mechanic. He's basically a handyman.
Yeah.
But even with all his gifts and all his talents, all the jobs that he gets, from the small jobs helping us fix the window at the church to the big jobs helping reconstruct a house, both of them were given to him by God.
And
that's what providence is. That's what God's provision looks like.
Sure.
It's God will provide. Now, coming back to that idea of that, man, we are in the world, but we're not of the world. What does that mean in the workplace? Here's a reality, Isaac. It means that in your workplace, you will be working with rude people.
Sure.
It means in your workplace, you'll be working with racists.
Yep.
It means in your workplace, you'll be working with perverts.
Sure.
It means in your workplace, you'll be working with liars, you'll be working with thieves, you'll be working with people who are biased, you'll be working with people who show prejudice, you'll be working with tribalists, you'll be working with people from different religions, but you'll also be working with people who are kind, who are loving, who are gracious, who are patient, who are caring, who are friendly, who are honest. You'll be working with different kinds of people.
Sinful people doing sinful things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because they live in a sinful world.
Mm.
And being in the world, means that as light bearers around us, there will be people who are dark.
Yep.
And we can't expect to just constantly be chirping at them and fighting with them and arguing with them and just having conflict and going one meeting after another, hoping that these people are just going to change.
The thing is, sometimes like we believe doctrine and yet we fail to understand how that plays out into the world, into reality. So we believe in total depravity, right?
Yes.
And yet we get shocked when people do bad stuff.
Exactly.
And we get shocked when they act the wrong way, unregenerate people, you know, doing sinful things. Well, that's in their nature. That's right. Exactly. And it's great when they don't, and we see the common grace of God, you know, towards their lives. But the reality is that sinful people, unregenerate people will live according to their sinful nature, their sinful deeds.
Behavior is the greatest indicator of the state of the heart.
Sure. Yep.
People behave the way they behave because of where they are standing with God.
Yeah.
The only reason that you can, not you are, because you still possess your parts of the sin nature, but the only reason why you can not be rude, the only reason why you can withhold yourself from being racist, from being a pervert, from lying, from stealing, from being biased, from showing prejudice, from being a tribalist, is because of the Spirit of God. Amen. That works in your heart.
Amen. Yeah.
God has specifically placed you in the workplace knowing that these people will be around you, and he has equipped you with the gospel to go proclaim the gospel to these people.
Sure.
That they too can leave the kingdom of darkness and join the kingdom of light by his grace, by his Spirit, through the message of the gospel. And then they too can also, like you are doing, show these things less.
And that implies there will be, or there should be, a big difference between you and the unregenerate person.
Right.
And your behavior and their behavior, right. In the workplace. Let me just quickly share a small story that happened. Just a lady worked for a company in Manhattan, and not long after starting there, she made a big mistake that she thought would cost her the job. But her boss went to his superior and took complete responsibility for what she had done. As a result, he lost some of his reputation and ability to maneuver within the organization. She was amazed at what he had done and went to thank him. She told him that she had often seen supervisors take credit for what she had accomplished, but she had never seen a supervisor take the blame for something she had done wrong. She wanted to know what made him different. He was very modest and deflected her questions, but she was insistent. Finally, he told her, "I'm a Christian. That means, among other things, that God accepts me because Jesus Christ took the blame for things that I have done wrong. Sure. He did that on the cross. That is why I have the desire and sometimes the ability to take the blame for others." Oof. She stared at him for a moment and asked, "Where do you go to church?" But there is an example of Christ's likeness in the workplace, being different, you know. And I think that's the kind of thing. There has to be a difference between our behavior as believers and those that are not believers in the workplace.
And I mean, I keep saying this and I can't say it enough. And I mean, as you were speaking, I'm like, don't say it. These people are going to think that's all you know. But truth is, there must be a tangible difference between you and those of the world because you have been transformed. You are a new creature. So therefore, act as you are. You are a new creature. That's why you can become more like Christ. You're becoming more like Christ from what you already have been transformed to be.
Yeah.
You knew. You have been clothed with the righteousness of Christ. Amen. And you've been empowered with the Spirit of God and His Word to continue being new. That's the process of sanctification.
Yeah.
And because of that, when you are reviled, when you are provoked, you don't look for a mini army in the workplace and say, "Oh boy, oh boy." You know, it reminds me of those Stomp the Yard movies where it's just this crew against this other crew. No. When you were provoked, when you were reviled, the scriptures are clear. You don't revile back. Who do you get this from? You get this from Christ.
Yeah.
When you have been provoked, or someone has hurt you, we're called to forgive. Why? Because you have been forgiven. We are called to love. Why? Because we have been loved.
Amen.
And if you think about it, we revile against God
all the time. Yeah.
We provoke God.
Mm.
We in everything that we do bring about the wrath of God, because we keep sinning and going against everything that He has asked us not to do and He has commanded us not to do. But the reason why He forgives us is because of Christ and His Son. So we have received much, therefore much is expected of us.
Yeah.
And that much is, when reviled, don't revile back. Forgive because you've been forgiven. Love because you've been loved.
Amen.
And show mercy again, because God has shown you mercy.
Yeah. Maybe just to add to some of those things, you know, believers must be known as fair, caring, and committed to others in the workplace. You know, if, you know, around the office, they must know that if you're a believer, that you are fair, that you care, that you're generous, and as you mentioned, you're known as calm and poised in the face of difficulty or failure. You know, you don't just snap and but you have the peace of God. You have the Holy Spirit in you, but also authentic and integrated.
Sure.
You know, and I think just even very practically speaking, in certain areas, for example, just in conversation, sometimes it's not easy to just like, you know, I'm just gonna walk away because this sure. is, you know, it's vile. I've always worked just in a church environment, but for example, sometimes with playing soccer and all that, sure. and then the sure. guys, and then I used to play with people that were not believers and all that, sure. and the talk, you know, sometimes is just appalling, and mm. and are you gonna be brave enough, like, no, this is not honoring to the Lord, so I'm gonna sure. You know, step away from that, and you react differently to when things go bad, and mm. and there's definitely a difference. There should be a tangible, as you say, difference between a believer and an unbeliever in the workplace.
You know, it's actually sad. I've heard a lot of people say, I don't work with Christians. Because the thing is, when you hire a Christian, the expectation is that, man, this guy's coming in with he should have a good reputation. This guy should have a good standing with yeah. people. Yeah. This guy should be a person of integrity because mm. I'm familiar with what he stands for. And then this person is the biggest cheat. They're the biggest liar. They are tardy. They mm. are they're not what you expected. Mm. And that's a sad reality. Yeah. And what we are not saying, so don't hear us wrong. We're not saying go into the workplace and be perfect. mm. But there is a difference in when you do work and you are at fault. There must be an acknowledgement of that fault and
sure.
a repentance.
Yeah.
It can't characterize who you are. You shouldn't be characterizing your workplace as, no, we can't ask that guy because he has high integrity. Oh, but we can ask him. And that's referring to you. No. Mm. You must be the person who people feel like, no, we can't have this filthy mm. conversation around you. That's okay.
Yeah.
I feel like
that's being light.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, people should feel that it is wrong to have filthy yeah. conversations around you, because they shouldn't be having filthy conversations at all.
Sure.
Not because you are judgy or you mm. think highly of yourself, but they know what you stand for.
Yeah.
And that's something I feel we're losing touch of that, because we want to be so relatable to the yeah. world, so relative, that the lines become blurry yeah. when we're talking about the lines of compromise.
Yeah.
And a lot of people fall over that line just for yeah. the sake of being relatable. Relatable, and it's going to come back.
Well, while you think about it, let me just repeat myself in terms of what I said on Sunday night. I think it's often because we fear man more than sure. we fear God. You know, we want to please man, and we regard the opinion of man higher than the opinion of God. Sure. You know?
Anyway, what is God's opinion on work? coming back to the purpose of work, the original purpose of human work was for the advancement of human flourishing to the glory of God. In Genesis chapter 2, we see the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. We often get the wrong impression that Adam was in the garden just eating bananas and chilling. but Adam was at work. God had placed him there to take care of the animals, to take care of the garden, he also put him there to also work the ground. So work has been there since the beginning.
Yep.
But because of sin, three things have changed when it comes to work. One, work has become toilsome. So now you work hard, you get tired, work is sort of burdensome as well. Because of sin, work becomes futile. And because of sin, work has become compulsory for survival. If you don't work, you don't eat. And there's also a change, not just in work, but also a change in workers. Some no longer use work to worship God, but to worship idols. They are defined by their work, no longer defined by God. But there are a few who call on the name of the Lord and praise God. They are defined by the name of the Lord whom they worship. So in reality, work is not an end in itself. It's supposed to be a means to an end. That is essentially given to us by God. That is to worship God in our workplace, to honor God, and to share Christ in our different spaces of influence.
And just to add, Paul will say in one of his letters, he who doesn't work, let him not eat. And there is a good God-created work, you know. So work in essence, as you say, it shouldn't be an idol, but it's a good thing. It's a good thing to work. It's not a good thing to be lazy, you know. Proverbs tells us, learn from the ants, you know. You know that. And so I think it's important for us to recognize that work is a good thing. We should be working. We often have this, I know I certainly do sometimes, like, oh, wouldn't it be great to just be, you know, in the somewhere tanning on the beach or all that, and not have to worry about money and all that. But actually, work is good. Work is meaningful, you know, and it can, and it's something God created, and we ought to be putting it in its proper place.
I mean, just what comes to my mind is just what's happening in Japan. I'm sure you're familiar that Japan's suicide rates are higher than the COVID numbers. And one of the biggest drives in Japan is you must work. So the working hours in Japan are crazy. A lot of the reasons for the suicide is work. People work, literally work themselves to the death. And that's not what you're talking about. That's what it looks like for work to become an idol. And some people praise themselves for being workaholics. They barely at home. They barely have time for church. They barely have time for people and relationships. And that's not what God has called you for. Being a worker is good. But don't celebrate being a workaholic. There must be a good balance where you're not just working because this is what you know and this is what you do. So easily can become an idol. And on that note, there are a few questions that are good to help us reflect. When it comes to work, ask yourself this question: can this job glorify God? Ask yourself, does this job permit me to live a godly life? Does this job allow me to be faithful in my other assignments that God has given me? Does this job allow me to be involved in my local church? Do the temptations of this job reinforce my besetting sins? Does this job provide for my needs and allow me to be a blessing to others? And now quickly, I just want to touch on two of them. As I was reading, thoughts are coming to my mind. Does this job allow me to be faithful in other assignments? That includes parenting. If your job distracts you from being a good parent, don't think you'll get a tap on the shoulder from God for neglecting your kids for the sake of work. You need to work to provide for your children, but not in the neglect of your children. Does this job allow me to be involved in my local church? When you move, is there a local church? Must be the question that you ask yourself to find the area that you're going to live in. So if you're moving for work, one of the first things you should be looking for is there a good Bible teaching local church in that area that I can go and attend? That must be at the top of our mind. And the last thing I want to massage in is, do the temptations of this job reinforce my besetting sins? I'll give you a simple illustration. If you are an alcoholic, you have no business working at a bar. That's basically what you're trying to say. Keep away from work areas that just keep tripping you up back to sin, and you get to a place where you become numb to that sin, and you just say, no, this is just my job.
Yeah, and just to say that God honors when we are honors when we prioritize Him, you know, even in our work. Let me quickly share a small story. There was one of our deacons in the church my dad was pastoring in Brazil, and he was the owner of a supermarket, and yet he decided not to open it on Sundays.
Sure.
So that you know, he and the staff that were Christian could go to the church. And it was very, you know, because Sundays, a lot of the business is when it happens and all of that. And yet God, you know, blessed him abundantly. Sure. He did better than many of the other shops who did work on Sundays.
Sure.
But it's just about that step of faith and conviction in doing what is right in the eyes of the Lord. And God honors that. Yeah. God honors that.
Yeah. There's a statement that I want to use even as we come to a close. Who's the boss? Who's the real boss?
Yep.
God is the master of all believers. And I must say this. There is no God like our God.
Amen.
He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords.
Yes.
Romans 6 verse 18 says, "You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness."
Amen.
It means all our lives' purpose is to righteousness, is to what God expects of us. We are no longer enslaved to sin, but we're not free to roam around. We are now enslaved to righteousness. So Colossians says this, "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ, for the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality."
Sure.
So work with all your heart, work diligently, remember to be a good steward of the job that God has given you. But even in that, remember that you are to honor God above men at all times.
Amen. Amen. So I just want to close in prayer for us. And I do want to pray in this time for those that in their work, that they will be light. But also for those that don't have work and are, we know this is a tough season. And that God will open the doors for them. So let's just pray. Dear Lord, we want to thank you for the work that you have provided for us to do what you have placed in our hands. And not only that, you, by your grace, have even given us the ability to do such work. And all good gifts come from above. And we recognize that's your grace and your goodness to us, Lord. And so I do pray that your hand will be over the believers to be salt and light in their place of work, that they will be proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, both in deeds and with their words, and that they will be different and they will be light, Lord. I also do want to pray for those that are without work, that maybe lost their jobs during this pandemic, that are struggling to provide food for the table. Lord, I pray that you would please open the doors and provide for them, Lord. I do pray that you will help them even in a difficult time to keep their eyes on you, for you are indeed Jehovah Jireh, our provider, Lord. And so we trust in you, we keep our eyes on you, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Hope you have a blessed week, everyone.
We live in a day where we think that in order to be relevant to our culture, we must be like our culture. We live in a day where we think in order for the gospel to be relevant, we must somehow adapt it to the culture, and nothing on the face of the earth or in the bowels of hell could be further from the truth. We are relevant not because we are like our culture, we are relevant because we are absolutely different. And our gospel has power not because it is acceptable to carnal men, our gospel has power because it is a scandal to men.
Thank you for joining the Theology Alive podcast. Please subscribe and share. Later.